Hello and welcome back to the Audio DT with Reb T, the show where we talk a mini lecture on the Parsha of the week with some practical lessons to keep. We're in Parshas Pinchas here in Sefer Bamidbar. We are looking at the Pasuk in Perek Chaf Dalid, Psukim Nun Dalid to Nun Vav. We're looking at 26:54 to 56, where it says, to the more numerous shall you increase their inheritance, and to the fewer you shall lessen their inheritance. Nevertheless, the land shall be divided by lot, whether many or few. Talking about Nachlat Ha'aretz, talking about how Hashem is going to divide up and apportion out the land. You know, Moshe is going to look out the land and see the land, and we just had the idea of the story of Beno Salavchad in this parsha. Also in Pinchas, of course, himself taking the priesthood on Aleph Bita, talks about with Rabbi David Block how there's a whole idea of legacy, how things are going to be apportioned out, how things are going to be given out. But interestingly, the way that it was given out in the time of Yahushua, when they did the battle and then they gave out the land for 7 years and then 7 years respectively, was interesting. They Hashem made it in a way that everybody got the proper amount of land that they needed. But Chabad.org points out with their different commentaries, the first one being Me'am Loes, is that the commentaries offer different approaches to explaining the apparent contradiction in these psukim. Rashi says that the land was divided into 12 provinces of different size, taking into account the difference in population among the tribes. Nevertheless, the question of which province should go to which tribe was determined by lot. A goral, miraculously, the lot matched the more populous tribes with the larger provinces, more land for more people, and the less populous ones with the smaller provinces, less land for less people. But Ramban points out the land was divided into 12 equal portions, not necessarily equal in size, since the quality of land was also taken into consideration, and the matching of provinces to tribes was done by lot, by goral. Thus, each tribe received an equal share, regardless of population. The instruction that to the more numerous you shall increase their inheritance, and to the fewer you shall lessen their inheritance, refers to the division of the land within the tribes. Each tribal head divided his tribe's portion among the families of the tribe in accordance to the number of members in each family, as determined by the census taken here. Another opinion is that the lottery determined the location of each tribe's portion, but not its size, which was adjusted in accordance with the tribe's population. Again, that was Chabad.org pointing out with Me'am Loes. Now, Chabad.org also points out that, however these verses are understood, the implication is that the Torah is insisting that two different, even conflicting dynamics be involved in the apportionment of the land. A rational division, which takes into account empirical data such as population figures and the quality of the land, and a supra-rational lottery, whose workings are beyond human comprehension and control. But there's also a third factor involved, besides for the effect of the idea of super-rational, besides for the effect of the realistic aspect of being logical, there's also a third factor involved, the concept of inheritance, a word that appears repeatedly in these verses in connection with the apportionment of the land. Inheritance is neither rational nor super-rational. An heir is not receiving a particular portion of land by some logical criteria or by some esoteric formula, but as his birthright, something that is inexorably bound to his essence, something that belongs to him by virtue of who and what he is. Everyone deserves a portion in Israel. Everyone deserves a portion also in Olam Haba, a very famous phrase in the Gemara. Everyone is entitled to their portion except for a few commoners and a few kings who lost it. But the idea is that everyone gets that spot. Everyone gets that aspect of the land. Our portion in life also, says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, pointed out by Chabad.org, includes all three dynamics. There are events and opportunities which shape our lives, giving rise to decisions and choices on how best to fulfill our purpose. One man will choose to be a Torah scholar. Another will ascertain the hand of Hashem, divine providence prompting him to go into the business world. A third will interpret a God-given talent as directing him to become an artist. This is the rational means by which we receive our portion in the land, our portion in life. We take our abilities, we take our capabilities, we take our skill set, we take the different passions, and we take the different unique idiosyncrasies of our talents and our capabilities to use it in life. We have to follow what we love and use it to make the world a better place. We're going to talk about this on a lecture coming up in a few days. Also, the idea of Tikkun Olam, the idea of chosenness, the idea of taking our uniqueness and our talents to make the world a better place to fulfill our purposes in our 120 years, hopefully, in life. There are also the circumstances and experiences that befall us, quote-unquote, in a seemingly random and arbitrary manner. A person will often mistake these for chance, but of course it's not chance, it's all guided by Hashem. But these are no less the hand of divine providence than the rational side of life. In fact, they express a more profound involvement by God in our lives, an involvement that is too lofty to be captured by any logical formula, so that our earthly eyes can perceive it only as an arbitrary casting of lots. These are gifts that are too potent to be tapped with the conventional tools of intellect and instinct. We can only open ourselves to their possibilities. Finally, we each have those moments in life when our inheritance, quote-unquote, comes to life. Moments which are not driven by our reason, nor by the transcendent forces that impact our lives, but by the very essence of who and what we are, by that deepest self that is one within source. Life is the sum of these three elements. To live is to develop and optimize one's consciously understood faculties. To live is to be receptive to the mysteries of life, to learn to recognize and respond to the opportunities that are implicit in the most esoteric turns of fate, and to live is to be attuned to the core of truth in the core of one's soul, to one's heritage as a child of God. So we must realize, we must remember, we must understand that we are given different capabilities, given different unique talents, unique capabilities, and unique elements of our life, and we must turn them to Hashem. We must turn them to the ideas of how to serve Hashem. We're going to talk about it in the Shir also, but you look at the two characters of David and Esav. Why were they similar? Both were ruddy of complexion, and both were seemingly red in appearance in some ways. That's why there's often the quoted idea that David might have been a redhead, and we know Esav was very red, very hairy, but there was a fundamental difference in them. Both had natures that were quote-unquote murderous natures, but there was a fundamental difference, especially the Gemara points out. David had beautiful eyes, which the Gemara points out that David looked to the Sanhedrin to be told who he's allowed to kill or how he's allowed to kill. He had the need, somehow ingrained in his personality, ingrained in his nature, to be a warrior, to be a battler, to be someone involved in war, but he used it in the way to do Melchamat Hashem, to do the wages of war for Hashem's sake, and he looked to the Sanhedrin to help him. So he turned his nature to use it for good. Esav, Lahavdil, used it to actually murder, and just to murder for the sake of murder. We might have tendencies, we might have the ability. If someone is born under the constellation that feels the need to shed blood instead of being a murderer, what he should do is he should become a shochet, or he should become a mohel, spreading the blood, but for mitzvahs involved in helping people to have kosher meat, or helping people to have the proper bris from Avraham's times to be involved. We have capabilities, we have talents, we have to use it for good, not for bad. If someone is a gifted orator, don't be someone who compels his nation to try to exterminate the Jewish people and get rid of 6 million Jews and tons of other people. Use that gift, I wouldn't say gift in that situation, in that circumstance, because it was such evil, such badness, but use an ability such as your gift, such as your ability to speak, use it only for good, using a very extreme